We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
In some respects, we've done very well. Right now, for example, the New York metropolitan area, which has been hit extraordinarily hard, has done very well in bringing the cases down and using the guidelines that we have very carefully put together in a stepwise fashion to try and carefully reopen their city and their state. However, in other areas of the country, we're now seeing a disturbing surge of infections.
Yeah, that was Anthony Fauci earlier today testifying before Congress. Cases surpassing 100,000 now in Florida. Hospitalizations rising dramatically in Houston and Georgia, and one out of five people tested in Arizona, Jordana, are infected with COVID-19.
Yep. So sad.
It's, yeah, some troubling trends in the southern U.S., and is it because it's too hot to be outside, more people indoors around other people trying to stay cool? Is it HVAC? You know, there's still so much more we don't know about this virus than we do know, but Fauci was optimistic. He thinks there may be an available vaccine by the end of this year or early 2021.
Really? Like January 2021? I was thinking like, okay, all right, I guess that's not so bad. That's actually earlier than I thought. But the end of this year. Okay, that's good. I was thinking April next year.
End of this year or early 2021. Okay. There are 150 companies that are competing to be the first to get an effective, safe vaccine out there. It has to be tested with 30,000 people before it can be released to the general public. So people are going as fast as they can. Hey, look, we're trying to get good information out with this virus from trusted sources. If we slip up and say something stupid, I mean, in theory, people could die. So I take it seriously. I know you take it seriously. People reach out. Listeners reach out on the text line and via email. Todd took me to task. He sent me an email earlier. He said, Paul, the fact that you think cloth masks stop aerosolized particles scares me. I honestly believe these cloth masks are giving people a false sense of security, and they are not correctly social distancing because of it. And I want to thank Todd for reaching out. Everybody is accountable, and if I say something wrong, I want you to take me to task for that. Nothing is going to bring the risk down to zero unless you live in a cave, or maybe if you live in your mother's basement, although it depends where your mom hangs out, because she could give it to you. Todd, cloth masks capture maybe 50% of the aerosols, the droplets that come out of your mouth. If you double ply the cloth mask, the number rises to 80%. N95, KN95 respirators are more effective. They trap 95% of the aerosol droplets. But it's not foolproof. It doesn't bring the risk down to zero. We wear seatbelts to lower the risk of being killed in head-on car collisions. It doesn't eliminate the risk. It lowers the risk. What I'm trying to do is not cherry-pick one individual to make a point. I'm looking at a consensus of experts, different scientists from different places saying pretty much the same thing. Yale Medicine, a mask is meant to protect others, not yourself. Virginia Tech, the stronger evidence is that masks protect others from catching an infection from the person wearing the mask. Recent article at The Atlantic, Masks can be worn to protect the wearer, but masks can also be worn to prevent transmission to others. And this is their most important use for society. If everybody wears a mask, the risk comes down to everyone. And I don't know why this is controversial. I don't know why we're debating wearing masks any more than we debate wearing seatbelts.
But and we frankly, did debate, but remember, just remember this, Paul, and this is years ago, but you and I were probably on the air, not here, but separately, when the seatbelt law came into effect. Oh, my gosh. People would call into radio stations. You can't tell me what to do in my car. That's my old get off my lawn man guy voice. Don't you think I got rights in my own car and you can't tell me what to do? And like, oh, people were infuriated that we had to wear seatbelts.
Yeah,
like it wasn't for their own good. And they went nuts. So the fact that they're going nuts about masks, again, same get off my lawn guy, just whatever. So you have the right to put yourself at greater risk, just not put anybody else at greater risk. But these people just get off my lawn and wear a damn mask.
Yeah. Thank you. Well said.
Sorry. Just had to get that off my chest. A couple things I just had to get off my chest. This whole Bob Kroll interview this morning on CBS This Morning, Bob Kroll obviously went on with four other union leaders, Rich Walker Sr., Sheryl Schmidt, and Anna Hedberg from the union went on CBS This Morning. And Bob Kroll was supposed to come on with Chad at 2:05 today. And you heard in the news 2 minutes before the interview, he bailed. Wow. I mean, wow. So bad form, Bob Kroll. Chad would have done a great interview, and I was waiting with bated breath to hear him talk with Chad. Literally, with bated breath, headphones on, at the ready. And what an even greater disappointment Bob Kroll is to our community that he still hasn't talked here on CCO Radio. But we don't have time to play some sound, but we will. I promise. We're going to later. And I even took even greater issue with what Rich Walker Sr. said. He said that the media in Minnesota makes it seem that police are out to murder black people in the street. And as a member of the media in Minnesota, I don't get offended because being offended is a choice. So I'm not offended because the truth matters and this is not truth. But I have never, ever heard a member of the media in Minnesota say that the Minneapolis police are out to hunt and kill black people in the street. That is a false statement. It is 100% not true. I have never heard a member of the media say that. If you have that on tape, you send it to me at jordana.green@entercom.com. And he's clearly not listening because that would never happen on WCCO Radio or CCO TV or any of the stations that I have known or either any of the rest have worked at. So that is wrong and that is false. And he should be ashamed of what he said on the television this morning. We will talk much more about that interview that we saw on CBS This Morning a little bit later in the show. But up next, Tim Lammers. We're going to lighten the mood with movies next.
You guys seem to know each other.
We have a boy at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you ready for boarding, guys?
We were born ready. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, your captain. I'd like to wish you a nice day and thank you for your trust in us.
European 162, what's your emergency?
We have 7500.
Open the door!
Several men attacked our cockpit. We stopped them for now. The captain is injured. Status of the crew, I don't know.
Oh, boy. It sounds like a hijacking movie. It's scaring the crap out of me already. Tim Lammers is back with his movie reviews brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And as always, Tim joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. This sounds super scary, Tim.
You know what? I kind of got rattled just listening to that little bit of audio.
Yes!
It came out last Thursday. I watched it right away, of course, for review today. And I can't stop thinking about the film. Yes, you're right. It is a hijacking movie. Without question, the most harrowing film I've seen since Flight 93, which, of course, was a September 11th 2001 chronicle of Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania. This again is it's horrifying. I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a co-pilot. There's also a captain in the cockpit. Hijacker storm the cockpit while it's in flight. They had a plan put together. Unlike Flight 93, however, the pilot, one of the pilots, maintains control even though he's been injured. And the film almost entirely takes place in the cockpit of this passenger plane. And you have a video monitor that can that's right outside the door, so you can see what's going on in the entryway. So he can see what's going on with these hijackers, and it's just horrifying what's going on. So, you know, it's a gutsy movie. It's obviously going to raise a lot of those nightmares with people and the horrific events of September 11, 2001.
Yeah.
Tim, look, if I want to be scared, I just turn on CNN. Or Fox News. Is this going to lower my stress level? Is this something everybody should see?
Yeah, I guess terrorism is still a very real threat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, right. Will it make us more vigilant? Have we become too lax on airplanes? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just from the standpoint of a thriller, a high-energy thriller, again, it's unnerving. I'll tell you this much. In 2006, when Flight 93 came out, bar none, it was the best film of the year because of the effect it had on me and it had on people, but I never watched it again. I will never watch this movie again. It's just a reminder that we can't rest on our laurels. We always, you know, have to be vigilant for these horrifying things, you know, the possibility of them happening, I guess.
It's called 7500, Joseph Gordon-Levitt on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, now and let's... I should note, too, that 7500 is the distress call for when a plane is hijacked. So that's what that number means.
Okay.
Yes.
Now it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, now it makes sense, but be forewarned. We'll lighten things up a little bit, right? Next up is a comedy.
Never feel bad that your life sucks. The greatest lesson you can learn in life, sucks and great are pretty close. You go to a baseball game, you have a hot dog. The hot dog is cold. The bun is not toasted. The vendor is an ex-con in a work release program. You love that hot dog every time. Does it suck? Yes. Is it great? Yes. That's how close they are.
So true.
Oh, I needed that. Yeah.
That's so true.
That is true.
This is fun.
Who doesn't love Jerry Seinfeld, right? 23 Hours to Kill is the name of the comedy special on Netflix. I don't do enough of these comedy specials because Netflix has a lot of original ones. They have the Dave Chappelle ones, which are just funny as all get out. Ricky Gervais, very funny. Mm-hmm. Those guys, they're pretty crude, though. Jerry Seinfeld keeps it really clean here, uses very mild language at best for the duration of this hour-long special. But it's the sort of comedy everybody can relate to, which I thought was terrific. I've always liked Jerry Seinfeld, and while I probably would prefer just watching a regular episode of Seinfeld, this one is good, especially if you're a fan.
Well, good. What's great about Jerry, I mean, he could have retired, you know, 20 years ago. He has enough money for 20 lifetimes, but he obviously loves what he does. He loves stand-up comedy, and now more than ever, we all need to laugh. We all need to take a mental health break.
Right.
So this sounds like just the antidote that many of us need right now,
Tim. It really is, and I purposely went for this one. It came out of last month, but it's like, I got to get to this because we do need the laughs right now. And it's funny, Paul, that Jerry addresses that at the very beginning. What am I even doing here? I don't need to be here, you know? Mm-hmm. But the thing is with these people, they love the craft so much, you know, whether it be acting, performing. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many farewell tours is Cher on? You know,
right.
They just can't. Elton John, the same thing. You can't get enough of it. So Jerry clearly can't get enough of entertaining audiences. And this in particular played on Broadway. I forget what the theater was. But it's entertaining. I had a smile on my face the whole time. I didn't double over in laughter. But again, you don't really need that much. I don't need to double over all the time. If you want to double over, like I say, watch Chappelle or watch Ricky Gervais, and boy, they really take you on a ride with their comedy specials, too. Hmm.
I've seen this. It's funny. And with the 1 minute we have left, Tim, I just wanted to address last week when we spoke, you and I talked about the AMC theaters that not requiring people to wear masks. And since we've spoken, they've reversed that decision. Is that right?
That's right. AMC theaters, not only them, but Regal. And the Alamo Drafthouse. We only have one in Minnesota. I think it's a great move. I mean, look, they're vulnerable business-wise the way it is right now. The last thing that they need is for somebody to say, I got sick going there. Now, again, like you were just saying, Paul, before our segment, it's not going to prevent you from getting it. It's to prevent, you know, hopefully, so you don't infect others, right? I wish this wasn't a political issue. To me, it's strictly a health issue, and I'll tell you why. I'm a type 1 diabetic. Three of my children are type 1 diabetics. Now, it's not going to prevent us getting it by wearing masks, but hopefully it's going to prevent me getting somebody else with a child with some sort of malady sick that's vulnerable. Right. So, you know, you look at it from that perspective. You know, if you're a parent, you know, just, you know, take precautions whenever you can. It's uncomfortable for some people, yes, to wear masks, but again, it's only a couple hours in a movie theater.
Right.
Well said, Tim. And as I discovered today, you don't have to shave, right? nobody sees your face when you wear a mask, so
I have
you can
to
go
tell
out
a,
kind of
a funny
grizzly
story
and
quick.
Unshaven.
You know, yesterday, because I have a white beard that's very distinct, I saw my sister in a department store, and I honestly haven't seen her through the entire pandemic. And I played a game with her a little bit. I had my sunglasses on, my mask, and I just stopped and stared at her like I was Jason from Friday the 13th. Scared the heck out of her.
Right.
And then she said,
oh my gosh.
She said, "Timmy, is that you?" Because they call me Timmy, you know, growing up, and they still call me Timmy. And eventually I cracked up laughing. But it was fun.
Cute.
Because people don't recognize you then.
That's great.
Tim Lammers, thank you for... Thanks for joining us, Timmy. Timmy.
Yeah,
Tim's
you can
movie
call me
reviews.
Timmy anytime. Tim or Timmy's fine. Timothy, too.
You got it. Tim's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. A meditation for PTSD. Next. Breathe, my friends. Today, we're going to do a very brief exercise in transcendental meditation. I chose this because it's very good for people with PTSD. It has shown improvements in PTSD symptoms in a matter of months in those who practice it. Now, I don't often practice transcendental meditation, but we're going to do it together today. So get comfortable, loosen up, let it all out. Sit comfortably in your chair with your feet on the ground, hands in your lap. Close your eyes. And then we're just going to take a few deep breaths to relax the body. Now, generally in transcendental meditation, it is mantra-based. So if you were really practicing, you'd get a mantra from your guru. Don't have a guru? Don't worry, neither do I. So we're going to make one up. You're going to make up one that is relax or kindness or calm. It's just one word that you repeat over and over. So now that you're taking your deep breaths, open your eyes. I want you to close them again. Repeat your mantra in your mind. Keep breathing. And when a thought pops in, just recognize that thought, move it off to the left, and keep repeating your mantra. Keep breathing in and out. Keep repeating your mantra. And we will continue the discussion on post-traumatic stress disorder with our next guest.
Thank you, Jor. Mm-hmm. And look, this is a concern that I think a lot of parents right now are sharing. You've got the steady drumbeat of virus headlines on television and radio everywhere you turn online. Social distancing making it more difficult for some parents to get medical treatment for their kids. Poverty and hunger made worse by the severe recession. And young kids under the age of 10, many experiencing nightmares, anxious behaviors, things like bedwetting, irritability, inability to focus, forgetfulness, and fear. Stomach aches, difficulty sleeping. Some of these may be manifestations of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You think about that with veterans, with service members coming back from hotspots around the world. We don't think about that with our kids, but maybe we should. And with us, joining us, From the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare. Is this a real thing, Dr. Vang?
Absolutely. I'm really glad that you guys are talking about this topic. And I'm also glad that you brought up the physical symptoms that kids oftentimes do experience, like belly aches, headaches, dizziness. Those are common symptoms of trauma or anxiety in children. So it is a real thing. And whether or not a kid might meet criteria for PTSD, that's going to vary depending on their actual experiences. If kids have family members that have fallen ill, they're more likely going to have that intense kind of reaction. If it's more peripheral, it'll be less so. But I do think that children are going to probably be exhibiting a lot of symptoms of trauma, which may include hypervigilance or just being extra sensitive to their environment, kind of always making sure that they're clean or that their hands are washed, things like that. That's going to be different for children because of COVID.
You know, it's funny. I already noticed this. I had some kids in the house today because the kids are allowed to play with their friends outside. But when they need a drink of water or when they have to go to the bathroom, they come in my house and they do that. And I'm okay with that. And so it was weird. And my youngest was in the house with me and she looked at me. She's like, oh, my gosh, it's weird to see other people in the house, friends in the house. Like, it was weird for her. And look, I know that's not serious and that she's not exhibiting PTSD, but I am concerned about this with my children, the after effects down the years that this fear of being around others, of being in contact, you know, we're huggers in my family. Clearly that has stopped. Dr. Vang, can you go through some of the symptoms that we can look for? I've read about, you know, things like bedwetting and irritability, and those might be a little more obvious that something's wrong, but what should parents be on the lookout for now?
Yeah, some of the more subtle symptoms may include some cognitive changes, meaning if the child is starting to feel as if the world is not a safe place or they cannot trust, you know, medical providers or other people to keep them safe, or if they feel like they are kind of internalizing that, like they can't trust themselves to be clean enough to stay safe, that can also contribute to or be symptoms of trauma. So, you know, let's just say a parent gets COVID-19, gets really, really sick. Kids, oftentimes, especially if they're younger, they internalize that. So they may wonder if it's their fault, if they somehow caused it. So talking to the kids, trying to get a sense of how they're seeing the world will give you a better idea if they are starting to have some more of those cognitive symptoms of trauma. So that's one. The other one, too, is just really the avoidance. That's a huge trauma symptom. If kids are starting to want to avoid going out, maybe going to the store, they're avoiding being with friends. Now, that's a huge sign because most of the time, most kids are very social.
Yeah, good point. Again, we're talking with psychologist Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare. Yeah. My hope, Dr. Vang, is that younger kids remember 2020. That was the year that mom and dad were home a whole lot. You know, they were home all the time. And we did things together, and we had more meals together and more experiences. But I do understand that older kids, you know, are hyper aware. I guess what's going through my mind, how much of this trickles down from anxious parents versus turning off the TV and just cutting off some of the communication so that they're not exposed to all these dire headlines 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a really good point, Paul. So kids are going to pick up on how parents are reacting. Oftentimes kids will look at the authority figure to figure out, like, how do I respond? Is this a situation where I should be freaking out, or is this okay? And so that means that people who are in positions of authority over kids, they have the opportunity to teach kids how to manage through some of the anxiety and also how to, you know, hold on to hope and to not hyper-focus on what is out of their control. So that I think gives kids a lot of flexibility. And I want to say kids are they're very plastic, right? They are so adaptable and so resilient. So I think bouncing back is going to be something that will definitely be there. And so to your point, Paul, parents have the opportunity to really help buffer their kids.
Okay.
I think that's really good. And this is such a strange parenting time. Maybe you have advice for the parents too, because I mean, we do the best we can, Dr. Vang. You know, I do teach these kids to meditate, but they don't seem to listen and they just make fun of me and they don't use it when they're feeling stressed. Like maybe when they take their tests and stuff, but they've been in school. But, you know, if they're feeling stressed, I say, do your breathing. I'm that annoying mom. I'm so annoying. But what's even some advice for the parents? Because sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, I wish I could help you, yet we have these fears also. So it's sometimes we feel like we can't help our kids. What's some advice for us?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, my number one advice would be flexible with yourself. So be gentle to yourself as a parent. These are really, truly unprecedented times. So
yes.
Be gentle with yourself. Now, my second point of advice would be to keep the communication lines open. So even if the kids don't want to use you and don't want to talk, that's fine. But as long as they know that should something ever come up and they want to talk or they need to, that you're there. So you can pester them. You can just leave it open. Whatever it is, don't shut them down. So if they're asking questions or if they're acting irritable, ask them, broach the topics. So I think that's one that I would definitely recommend, is just keeping the lines of communication open.
Okay. Well said. Thank you, Dr. Tali Vang. We really appreciate your weekly appearances, getting our heads in the right place. And thank you, and thanks to Hennepin Healthcare. We appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me again.
You bet.
We're gonna talk baseball when we come back. Mike Max up next on CCO.
Okay, so I've just been handed this this update. There is now an 82.63% probability there will be baseball later this summer. Maybe 60 games, maybe not. It may start on or around July 24th, give or take 2 weeks. There will be no butts in the seats, no fans in the stands, but there's a good chance we will be blessed with Twins baseball here. Our patience will pay off. The guy who hopefully can add to this and clean up my mess is Mike Max. Hey, Maxie.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, this is, you start talking about July 24th, you're basically competing against the NFL at that point.
Yes.
That's not where you want to be if you're a baseball team, because the NFL, assuming they play, which we don't know, they are a monster. But that being said, this is really disappointing that they had to finally turn it over to Commissioner Manfred to, in essence, invoke his privilege to make them play against the support of the owners. But the fact they couldn't come to an agreement with the players, and the players are trying not to tip their hand or give anything away, because next year they're going to negotiate a new contract. So they don't want to give in at all on this one and set a precedent. And it all became about money and pride. And so we get to this, and they'll play. You know, I don't think there's any question they'll play unless there's some surge of coronavirus that would take them back. But, we were hoping they'd play with kind of a, you know, some fanfare and announcement like, hey, America's coming back and so are we. And right now you just feel like these guys are going to kind of limp in and, okay, we're here. You know, I hope that the tenor of that changes once they get in and start competing, but it just – It doesn't feel as good as I thought it would when we were finding out they were going to play.
And that's good for CCO, because games are going to be on here. So that, yeah,
yep.
So that's great.
And I love the Twins were so good last year. It was so much fun. And it could be fun again this year in a different way. And maybe once we get there, it'll feel just like that and it'll be fun again. It's just today it doesn't feel like what I was hoping it would feel like when they started to talk about playing again.
Yeah, I feel that. Where does that leave fans, though? Are there any opportunities for fans? Are they letting anybody in? Are they having small group meetings? Anything?
Yeah, as of now, they'll start no, and then they'll go with the CDC and everything, all those other terms that we've become familiar with. And, you know, the hope would be that you could begin to allow fans in the stands in different proportions as you move into the fall. Right. But there's no real guarantee on that because that's so based on – and the other thing is, you know, they talk about running into a hot zone. You know, different cities are different places right now, so it might be different at Target Field than it is in Philadelphia or New York or Dallas, Texas, depending on the time of year. And as you guys were talking about earlier in the program about, you know, is the surge because so many people – in the warm weather states are inside right now the same way we are when it gets colder. Does that make right. us more susceptible come October if they're playing to become a hot spot again? So there's lots of calculations that they're putting into that right now.
Mike, look, this is the lost year. And my expectations and many of our expectations are so low right now. I'd be happy with table scraps. At this point, I don't care if they pump in canned sound, canned applause, canned crowd noise. I don't care if they have stuffed animals in the seats. If I can see the Twins play on the field and hit bombas, I'm a happy camper. So at this point, I'd settle for anything.
Especially, you know, and not to feel sorry for ourselves in Minnesota, but we got the double whammy this year with all that we've been through. COVID-19 and, of course, George Floyd and the origination of the riots and going worldwide. And in that respect, I'm glad that they're playing without fans because I would hate to see great gatherings of people and the potential for, you know, what we're seeing right now, even in the last couple of days in Minneapolis. So from that standpoint, I welcome the fact that there won't be any fans in Minnesota when they start this thing. But eventually, you hope that you can just hone in, listen to a game on the radio, maybe throw a little, like you said, background noise in there, artificial or not, listen to Corey and Dan call the game, get involved in it, and have fun with it.
Yes.
All right. I guess that's good news. The Twins are coming back a little bit, Mikey.
You just said it, Jordana. I guess it's good news, and I think eventually we'll be excited as we get closer to tip-off.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the time, Mike. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be listening.
Sure, you get more excited about my weather forecast, and that's kind of sad.
I'm not excited about the weather. I guess I'm in Mikey's camp though. This should be euphoric. This should be a victory for humanity that baseball is coming back, and the players should be running out on the field to play the game that we think they love, but maybe they just love the money. So it's just. Well, you know, I guess it's typical 2020.
I see both sides. You're asking me to risk my health and risk my life and risk my income and risk my family for a fraction of my normal salary. So I do understand the calculus on the other side. Does the nation need baseball? Absolutely. But again, at this point, let's be happy for whatever we get. We're going to write off this year. This is the lost year. Any baseball at this point is good baseball and a necessary, needed distraction. So bring it on in any form.
All right. Fair enough. And I appreciate that. No problem. When we return, we will have a difficult conversation about racism with Professor Laura Gilbertson from Bethel University. That's up next on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.